Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, I'm going to speak about speaking life. How many of you believe that God's Word is true? Yeah, I do too. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, pay attention to my words." Pay attention to the words. "Listen closely to my sayings and don't lose sight of them." You have to realize we're reading holy, inspired writ. "Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For they are life to those." In the word life there is literally the Hebrew word for medicine. "They are medicine. They are medicine to one's body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. And do not let your mouth speak dishonestly, and don't let your lips talk deceiving, in a deceiving way." And so I want to start in a kind of a weird, peculiar place. And I've got to give a disclaimer real quick. So listen up. When I first went into ministry 37 years ago, I was in this town, at what was formerly Trover Clinic, in the ICU unit at the bottom of the hospital back then. And I was pastoring a kid named Todd, and his dad fell into a coma through an aneurysm while we were at Opryland. And I have never prayed more in my life or fasted more for divine healing than I did that day. In those weeks, I slept on the hospital floor. I'd only been in ministry 3 months, maybe 2 months at the most. And I didn't know what to do but just be faithful to someone. And so I went through that process and Bobby died. And it was crushing to me because if I'd ever had the faith to see someone be raised, it was him. And I go back to school, and this hyper-faith person, and if you know me, you know how much I disdain hyper-faith. I believe God is a healer. Somebody say amen. Hyper-faith to me is somewhat cruel. And this person with hyper-faith came up to me and said to me, "If you had only prayed the right way, God would have healed him. It's your fault." Now, have you ever heard of the right hand of fellowship? I wanted to give him a left-hand Holy Ghost punch. Somebody say amen. And it bothered me. And what I need you to understand today is that any heresy, heretical teaching, has truth in it. And one of the areas of what people call grab it and blab it, faith talk, there's a lot of truth to that. There's some heresy to it. But when it comes to speaking a positive confession out of your mouth, that is 100% Bible and 100% God. If you believe that, say amen. Now, I want to show you how you can increase your week as to be a better week. But I'm going to start, and this is going to shock you, but we're going to start with Johns Hopkins University. And I want you to listen to what the hospitals and the psychologists say about speaking positive faith, or the words that come out of your mouth bringing life, not death. About saying to yourself, "I can do it," as opposed to "I can't do it." Saying about yourself that your marriage is going to make it and that you're going to be healthy, as opposed to "no, I'm going to get a divorce." Saying to yourself that you're going to have a better job and that you've got more than enough money because you're paying your tithes and you're operating according to biblical financial principles and God has to bless you. You have the power to speak life or death out of your tongue this morning. And it will change your environment. Anybody that's practiced it knows what I'm talking about. I need a real loud amen right now. Now, I want you to understand what the world knows about it. While I was a little dismayed by looking at the internet about the critics of positive confession, and they throw a lot of good people that love God into the bathwater or out with the bathwater with them. The truth is, there is something to be said about taking the Word of God, learning to stand on it, and letting the words that come out of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There is something about being said that the power of life and death is in your tongue. You can speak death, you can speak discouragement, or you can speak life, and there is a difference, and you serve a God that does not hate you. Half the problem with being positive in this house is the religious spirits you, most of you have grown up with, and you begin to think over the years that somehow God is mad at you and that he doesn't care for you. But the Bible says, the Word says, that his plans for you are good and to prosper you and to give you a good life. God loves you and he's been chasing you, and God is for you. He's not against you. If you believe that, I want to shout amen, but I don't have the voice, so you do it for me. Now, John Hopkins University looked at these things about positive confession. People who are secular that don't believe in God, or maybe they do believe in God, they actually call it positive self-talk. And a lot of times it gets a bad rap in the house of God because of abuse. But do you realize that John Hopkins found out that couples who speak positive words in their house and watch the words that come out of their mouth have healthier marriages and are better married and have healthier environments in their home to raise children? Do you realize that researchers suspect that people who are more positive are actually better protected against inflammatory diseases? According to John Hopkins, where stress ruins your heart. Do you realize that hope and positivity makes your health better and makes you make better long-term decisions? That John Hopkins actually found out that if you reframe your negative experiences, that the brain is created neurologically to reform itself and to wear over an old pattern. Maybe you grew up with a pattern that says, I'm not good enough. Maybe you've grown up with a pattern that says, I'm not smart enough. Maybe you've grown up with a pattern that says, I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. Maybe whatever inadequacies you keep talking to yourself in your self-talk right now is actually worn a pattern in your brain. It's a scientific truth. It's a scientific principle of neurology. But neurologists from John Hopkins found out that you can wear a different pattern in your brain. And in saying, I can't do it, you start saying that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead of saying I'm going under, say greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Rather than saying that I'm walking in sickness, claim Isaiah 53 and say, God, I'm eating what I should. I'm exercising. I'm doing what I should do. By your stripes, I am healed. Do you understand that there's a life that you can live that is much, much more happier, much, much more of a good life, and the connection between the good life and the bad life is in the power of your tongue? Somebody say amen. It's a scientific proof, John Hopkins. Do you realize the University of Pennsylvania actually found out that self-affirmation actually is backed up by neurological scientific evidence that when you speak positive things about yourself, now you can turn around and say, I'm going to win the lottery, I'm going to win the lottery, I'm going to win the lottery, and that doesn't mean you're going to win the lottery. If you do, pay your tithes and say thanks to Jesus. Somebody say amen. If I had, no, I won't get into that. All right. But, and I'll explain that in just a minute through the University of Pennsylvania research. There has to be, it's not about being positive, it's about making a positive confession about the Word of God in your life. It's the Word of God that's eternal. It's the Word of God that makes a difference. But the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so science is picking up on this. As a matter of fact, at the University of North Carolina, they have found out that what negativity does to your brain. They found out that negative emotions actually program your brain to respond with negative actions. They actually found out that negative emotions narrow your mind and focus your thoughts on the negative. That when you're a negative person, you are less successful, you're less healthy, you are less a creative, you have less skills than you do when you're a positive person. They found out that when you're a positive person, you experience positive emotions like joy and commitment, contentment and love, that you see more possibilities in life. As a matter of fact, they said if you want to increase your positive thinking, the way in which you can increase your positive thinking is to meditate. Meditate is a Greek word found in the Bible. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It says I'm going to meditate on the word both day and night. Psalms 1:1, Andy, Pastor Andy quoted it last week when he did a great job speaking. And what you have to understand, so when you quote positive things, the Bible says that you unlock the possibility of God's word when you stand on God's word. The Bible says that the power of life is in your tongue. The power of life is in your tongue. And so you have to understand that meditating, prayer, and spending time quoting, saying, speaking the word of God is really important. Do you understand that Atlantic Daily and a psychologist found out that people who are optimists solve problems better than people who are pessimists? They actually found out that physically, the people that are optimists are more likely to engage in behaviors that protect them from diseases and illness, and people who are pessimists actually have a more propensity to have bad behavior, be negative, not hold responsibility, and deny and distort. One of the things that's interesting is that they said in this survey, in this scientific research, that if you are raised from an impoverished home, if you're raised in a spirit of poverty, that you're more likely to be negative than positive. Now, let me make something clear here. Do you understand that you can be raised in a negative environment and remain positive and make it out of a negative environment? I pastored two kids in Kansas City years ago, and their mother was a crack addict. We found her dead right before they went to school. I helped the ambulance get her out. Every time you go outside their housing project, you would hear gunshots. People would get shot on the doorstep. Gang members everywhere. Drug dealers everywhere you look. Drug deals going on. Crackheads in the hallway. You couldn't have found a worse environment of hell to raise two children in. But those two children, even though they had a negative environment, they did not have a negative environment right here. Because you can have a negative environment, but as long as this doesn't get negative, you're going to make it out successfully. One of them went on to be a doctor and the other one went on to finish college and a master's degree. Give God a hand clap of praise, because it ain't about the way your life has happened or unfolded. It's about how you're handling your life. Somebody say amen. Do you realize that the Bible gives you promises, and you, if you'll just learn how to hang on to them, that you can increase the joy in your life? Do you understand that the Mayo Clinic said that positive thinking doesn't mean that you keep your head in the sand and ignore life's less pleasant situations, but positive thinking was about the approach. As a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. Positive confession starts with positive self-talk. And so you have to realize that if you speak positive things about your life, according to the Mayo Clinic, that you're going to increase your lifespan, you're going to lower the rates of depression, you're going to lower the level of distress, you're going to have a greater resistance to the common cold, you're going to be better psychologically and physically as a human being as far as health is concerned. You're going to have better cardiovascular health and reduced risk of health disease from cardiovascular disease. You're going to be better at coping skills during hardship and times of stress. The Bible says that Christians should be more excellent than their neighbor. And I am convinced that there are Christians that need to start lifting up the way they live, lifting up the way they talk, lifting up the way they act, lifting up the way that they go about their lives. Listen, God didn't come down and die on the cross so you could be happy in heaven. God didn't come down and shed his blood through his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life, so you can have joy in eternal life. I don't need any joy in eternal life. I need it right here now, in the now and the nasty. Can I get a witness? God has a plan to lift you up, to encourage you this morning, to help you to do what you've never been able to do before, to get out of what you've never been able to get out of. If you always do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you've always got. But if any of you ever get smart enough to realize that your tongue is a creative force given by God, and that when he put the world into existence and framed the tectonic plates around the dirt of the earth, when he slung the stars into existence and simply said, and he calls them all by name, when he put the moon where it's supposed to go, and he used the atmosphere and the H2O and the molecules and the atomic atoms, and he formed all the complexities of the life, according to Paul in Colossians, the things visible and invisible, the Bible said he did them all by words. You have a central nervous system because God spoke by words. You have a brain because God spoke by words. You have a church because God spoke by words. You have a baby because God spoke by words. You got a bird because God spoke by words. You got a mountain because God spoke by words. You got a lake because God spoke by words. You got stars because God spoke by words. You got 100 billion, billion planets in the galaxies because God spoke by words. You got a Milky Way that protects human life unlike any other galaxy because God spoke by words. You have a human being because God spoke by words. You got water because he spoke by words. You got fish because he spoke by words. You got a central nervous system because he spoke by words. You got trees because he spoke by words. You got lions because he spoke by words. You got a woman because he spoke by words. You got a man because he spoke by words. And you are in existence because he spoke by words. So if God, how many believe that? Wave your hands at me this morning. Now, if God did that, how much more important is it for you if you're created in his image, the Omega Dei, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, Omega Dei, Latin. And you're made in the image of God. And Romans chapter 10 says that if you get saved, even when you get up and walk down the aisle, well, I believe you're saved the moment you got up. The Bible says in Romans 10, you still got to let it come out of your mouth. That there's something about those words. And John Hopkins, or the Mayo Clinic, proves it. Also, they prove that you can wear new patterns and learn to think new thoughts. Also, they've also found out that athletes, ladies and gentlemen, who engage in positive talk perform better than those athletes who don't. They literally have found out that if you're getting ready to shoot a free throw and you say you can't do it, you've increased your likelihoods of not doing it. And that if you say you can do it, you've increased your likelihood that you can do it. How many of you want an anointing of self-talk to come on the University of Kentucky next year? Can I get a witness? It's a scientific fact. But you say, what about the little boy in the inner city who says, I'm going to go play ball for the NBA? Actually, at the Mayo Clinic, they found out that that little voice doesn't count. If you tell yourself if you're going to be an NBA star, you say you're going to have a Mercedes because you convince that you confess it because you don't see the same impact. And that's what the research shows. It says there isn't any immediate feedback to reinforce the self-talk. And number two, the message may not be believable and they're likely is unlikely to improve self-esteem. So that what the Bible says in a balanced way about positive confessions and what science says is that you've got to confess reality. And when you stand on the Word of God, what's reality? How many of you believe God wants you to have a better marriage? I've started confessing that. I have. I confess it in my prayer times. How many believe God wants you to have more finances so you can help spread the gospel and that your family's needs are met? Can I see your hands? I've been confessing that. How many of you believe that God wants you to walk in divine health and you realize you got to keep the Twinkie box out of your mouth every day? You can't say, God, help me and heal me and hand me a Twinkie. That doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing wrong with a Twinkie, but when you eat the whole box, there's a problem with the whole box of Twinkies. And you can pray, God, heal me of diabetes, and your body's full of sugar from a box of Twinkies. And God is saying, I'm trying to, but you keep eating the Twinkies. So you got to, but how many of you believe God heals? All right, how many of you believe Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we're healed? All right, well, you confess that. You make that positive confession. Say, by his stripes, I'm healed. I'm doing everything I need to do. I'm walking under the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm walking in divine health. And I'm exercising. So there's certain things that you got to do. Now, here's what I want you to listen to me. Listen to me carefully. I want you to understand that words have spiritual qualities to them. And that the average person speaks, opens their mouth 700 times a day. I know what you're thinking. The person next to me beats that by two. Do you realize that you speak 18,000 words a day, and if you put it in pages, it'd be 54 printed pages, that every year you speak 66 books of 800 pages apiece? Do you realize that in the book of Proverbs, it mentions the power of wisdom and connects it to the power of the tongue 150 times? Do you understand, number one, that your tongue is a creative force? Go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It simply says something you already know. It says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, the Bible is infallible, right? Say amen. So if we have an edge as Christians and we have an infallible book that gives us the way to life and that more abundantly, then we need to be very careful to attend to its words. And Proverbs says the power of life, good life, a lot of life, a joyful life, is in the tongue. I heard a woman in this church say this week, said that I'm not going to make it. She said that I've been divorced so many times, no man's ever going to love me. She said that I am nothing and people hate me and I have no friends. And when I heard about that, I couldn't help but to think, sweetheart, you're creating your own environment. You're imprisoning yourself by the words of your tongue. When you have to find out whether you're lovable or not because someone else loves you, you're in trouble. You got to understand that God loves you and the power of life and death is in the tongue. I can say you're a wicked witch and I hate your guts and you've gained 50 pounds. How many of you men are smart enough to know to run at that point? Or I can say you're beautiful and God's, you are so good at this and I can compliment someone. I can tell my kids you're dumb, you're stupid, your head is hard as a rock, you're never going to amount to a hill of beans. Or I can say, you know what, you've got the righteousness of God in you. There's nothing you can't do if you stick with God. There's nothing you can't have, nothing you can't be if you keep God in you because he'll guide you to be the best you. Do you understand that God loves you, that you've got greatness in you, that you are able to do anything you put your mind to, that you can walk in divine health, that God loves you, that you have a conscience, you're a moral being, and by the words that come out of my mouth, today is a good day, today is a beautiful day, today is a sunny day, today is a wonderful day. I am so glad to be here with so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people today. I'm so happy to have the opportunity to go to church because there's people who can't go to church that get arrested for trying to go to church and they want to go to church. Today is a good day. Today is the day that God has made. I hate today. I can't stand you. I hate your mother-in-law. I hate your mother. I hate your brother. I really hate your brother and your mother. You see how you bring life or death through the power of your tongue. And the Bible says, this is interesting, go to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. It actually says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, it says something really interesting. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So everything was created by the word of God. The Bible says Jesus became flesh and dwelt amongst us and they called him the word. John the Revelator said, since the foundation of the earth, the Lamb of God was slain. Do you understand that there's power in the words of God? Genesis 1 and 6 said, God said, let us expand the waters. Genesis 1, 26, God said, let us make man. God said, through the spoken words, God created. Now, if you're created in the image of God, you've got to realize that your tongue is a creative force and you can create damnation or you can create health and life in your home. You can tell and you can say your employees aren't worth anything. You can curse your employees. You can damn your employees. You can complain about your employees or you can praise your employees. And it's a given fact. One thing I've learned about getting people to confess sins after 37 years, if I lay out the judgment, they'll clam up like a clam. If I lay out grace, they'll open up and spill the beans. The Bible says it's the goodness of the Lord that causes people to repent. So you got to be, your tongue is a creative force. I want you to do something. It sounds like pop psychology, and I got a degree in psychology. Let me assure you, it's not pop psychology. How many of you will have the boldness to say out loud that I'm loved by God? How many of you would have the boldness to say good things are going to happen to me today? Now, that's foolishness through the world, but the Bible was made plain through the Apostle Paul that the foolishness of preaching is foolishness to them that are perishing. And I know this old world is getting darker, but I've made up my mind I ain't going down with it. Pardon the English vernacular. That my Nana, Jenny's mom, has a sign in her bathroom that talks about going to heaven and says she intends on sliding in and say, whoa, what a ride. That's how I want to be. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you, many of you won't know who I'm talking about. I actually have a signed historical letter from him in my research office at the end of the building. But how many of you remember a man named Rex Humbard? Anybody know him? most positive man, loved the Lord with all of his heart. My Catholic grandmother, who was spirit-filled, used to watch him all the time. And he and Maude Amy would come up at the end of the program. You know what they'd say, kids? They'd say, something good is about to happen to you. And I thought long and hard about that mantra and about Proverbs, about life being in my tongue. And I have started confessing something good is going to happen to me today. I've been listening closely to the Holy Spirit about not being a legalist, but tithing in every area. And I'm shocked at the blessings that are arising. There's something going on right now I'd love to tell all of you, but I can't. Pray for me Tuesday for this church, because we're liable to expedite a ministry that we've had for 18 years and be able to help this city more than we've ever helped it in our existence. You know where it came out of? It came out of a positive confession. God, I know this vision is from you. God, Haggai says that if the vision waits and tarries, you wait on it. And so I've waited on it. Do you realize that when you speak life over your circumstances and you're speaking the word of God, that God's word will not return void to you? If you've got something that seems impossible, you just say Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You want to know why I love education so much and working on a second earned doctorate, a PhD? I'll tell you why. One, I've grown to love education, but how did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. I was told all my life I couldn't do it. I was told in grade school, you're going to be put in the slow class, and this is what you have in life. My mom and dad hired a tutor, and I found out I could do something. I got to college or high school, and the guidance counselor said, you'll never make it in college. All my life, intellectually, somebody has told me I couldn't do it. But you know what I found out? That if I'd start confessing, I can believe the lie of the tongue, or I can believe the life of the tongue. My God, that's good. You need to write that down. We can go home right now. I'll believe the lie of the tongue or the life of the tongue. All your life you've been told you're nothing. You can believe the lie of the tongue or the life of the tongue. All your life you've been thinking that the divorce was your fault, or that you're not good enough, pretty enough, strong enough, knowledgeable enough, that you can't have a job like you've always dreamed of. You're not educated enough. I want to tell you something. If God ever gets on your side and Jesus ever gets inside of you, there is nothing you can't do. Do you hear me? I said there's nothing you can't do. That's not pop psychology. That's not name it, grab it, and blab it. That's the word of the living God. And the word of God will not return void to you. So you got to realize your tongue is creative force. But then it says, whosoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul. Proverbs 21 and 23. So if you want to walk in health, you want to walk in joy, you want to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, you want to walk in the ability that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You want to walk in the fact that Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes I'm healed. You want to walk in the fact that 1 Corinthians 3 says, God is my sufficiency and I am sufficient in all things because he is sufficient in all things. Well, you want to walk in those things. Don't let the kids listen. Don't you let anybody tell you you can't do the math test. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not smart enough to learn geometry. Listen, you have the goodness of God living inside of you, and you have the mind of Christ that is in you. If you want a new raise, if you want a new promotion, I didn't say if you wanted a new wife, you want to make the last one work, listen up. The Bible says that God wants you to love your wife as Christ loves the church, and then it says God wants her to respect you. It's funny God didn't use the word love with men. He used the word respect, which is love for men. You quote that scripture in your home. You go through that home. Oh man, I feel the Holy Ghost. You go through that home. People may think you're nuts. You get you a bottle of olive oil. It don't even have to be special anointing oil from Jerusalem. It can be popcorn oil for all I care. you go through your house and anoint it with oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to proclaim and confess over your home health, peace, prosperity, and happiness. And you quote the word of God over your children while they sleep. You quote it over them when they wake up. You quote it over your wife when she's asleep. You let the words of God come out of your mouth, and it will not return void unto you. You do not have to be a victim any longer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to be a victim. You don't have to live beneath your privileges. You don't have to live depressed. You don't have to live in lack. You don't have to live beneath what God has called you to live. God is the owner of all things. He is the smartest being in the whole universe of universe, and he's living in you. And he left us a little gift. And it wasn't just any gift. It was the Holy Ghost who breathed out. Doesn't mean it had one doggone thing to do with the ability of the writers. It is a, the Greek is a byproduct of God's divine spirit. I'm not holding the Reader's Digest in my hands. I'm not holding GQ in my hands, a stupid fool that made fun of the Bible last month. I'm not holding CNN. I'm not holding an arrogant word of a senator from Minnesota who wants God taken off of her money. I'm holding the word of a living God. And Jeremiah said, when I didn't even want to talk about it, it was like fire shut up in my bones. Paul in the book of Hebrews said, it is like dividing to the bone, the son, divide to the asunder of the bone and the marrow. It is life. John said, it is life, and it is the word, and the word of God came and it dwelt amongst us. Paul told Timothy, all scripture is God breathed. My God, I want to preach and I got to teach. I feel the Holy Ghost. Am I alone in here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody tired of living defeated? Anybody tired of living beneath your privileges? Anybody tired of letting the devil run roughshod on you when the Bible tells you what you can do and what you cannot do? And more importantly, what Satan cannot and what he can do to you? He can't do jack squat to you if you're covered by the blood of the Lamb. I want to start throwing chairs and babies right now. You got to watch over the confession of your mouth. Jeremy, come on up and don't play yet, son. Hebrews 4:14 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That means you got to have the power to master it, to rule over it. You say it's going to be a good day. I'm going to go to Carmen at First General Baptist Church tonight at 6 o'clock and watch a legend in gospel music. You can stay home and watch all the filth that's on television, or you can put something good in your mind. You can speak life to your mind, speak life to your children, speak life to your business. You change your words, you change your world. And so when I talk about making a positive confession, I'm saying that you're affirming what is said in God's word. It's simply saying what God has said about a certain thing. It says, I am not defeated. I am absolutely, positively convinced that most of the setbacks in a Christian's life is through disobedience, not a plan test from God to impart greater holiness. Psalms 107 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. John 6:63 says, it's the spirit that quickens. I feel that spirit right now. And the flesh that profits nothing. The words that, listen, it's the flesh that profits nothing. I'm nobody. Nobody loves me. My wife doesn't love me. I'm in a horrible job. My kids don't respect me. I'm never going to get promoted. I'm stuck. The flesh profits nothing. If you ever learn how to drag your natural life over into the supernatural living of God, you'll be amazed at how different your week will be. My wife loves me. My wife respects me. I have more than enough money. my tithes are paid up and I've given offerings and I'm volunteering in church, God, you said you would rebuke the devourer and give it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God, I'm walking in divine health. I've eaten enough of salad to kill a rabbit this week. Do you hear me? Isaiah 53 says, by my stripes you are healed. And the book of Revelation says that we'll stay healthy the rest of our life because of the leaves. You can speak with that tongue death, or you can speak life. You can speak to the flesh, or you can speak to the spirit. My God, that makes me want to run and do a dance. It says the flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak to you are spirit, capital S, which is pneuma in the Greek, and life, zoe. How many want more life, better life on this earth? Let me see your hands. Don't be ashamed of it. He died on that stick so you could have it. Joel 3 and 10 says something amazing. It says, let the weak, which is the Hebrew word for weakling. It's not just weak, it's the weakling. It's one thing to be weak, it's another thing to be called the weakling. It's one thing to be called strong, it's another thing to be called, oh, that's the rut. What do they call it? The rut of the litter or the runt of the litter? Yeah, the runt of the litter. Is that it? Yeah, runt. But it says, let the weakling say I'm strong. Are you weak this morning? What's coming out of your mouth? Proverbs 16 to 24 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And the Bible knows what John Hopkins in the Mayo Clinic is just finding out. The positive words are connected to divine health. Matthew 12 and 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you stupid witch. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. Proverbs 6 and 2 says, you're snared with the words of your mouth and you're taken captive by the words of your mouth. Damn it. Why are you looking at me? You ain't read your Bible all week and you're worried that I said that word. I'm not talking filthy communication. You think about how many things you've damned this week, including God. You wonder why your life stinks. Your life stinks because your mouth stinks because your tongue is poisoned. Yes. Yes. What are you damning? Are you damning something God created? Are you damning a marriage God instituted? Are you damning the name of a holy, righteous God? Are you damning your children? Are you damning your job? Damning a dog? Damning a cat? Cats may be biblically okay. No, I'm just joking. Now Carol and Charles are mad at me. What are you damning? Why don't you take your dam and build a dam? Why don't you speak life? God loves me. I've been forgiven of all my sins. There's no condemnation in my life. I'm prosperous. I'm tithing. God, you have to rebuke the devourer today. I paid my tithes. Jenny and I paid our tithes today. You have to rebuke the devourer. God, I walk in the favor of God and man. God, you're a good God. And I've learned that you can build a dam and through neuroscience change the pattern in your brain and speak life with that tongue you've been speaking death with. If you believe that, give God a hand clap of praise. Now as a close, go ahead, Jeremy, buddy. Matthew 12 to 34 says, every idle word. Now isn't that interesting? Every idle word you're going to be held accountable for. Every idle word. Don't point, but do you know of people who talk too much? You ever heard people and you say, I just wish they'd shut up? Let me see hands. Don't point. Just let me see hands. I was with somebody on an airplane the other day, and they were talking all big and bad like they were the king, you know, in the universe. And I'm thinking, would you just shut up? James says something to the believers. James was the half-brother of Jesus. In James chapter 3, starting verse 1 through 18, it says that when you're a teacher, you're judged more harshly. But then again, it says, you know, out of all the things in the body, it's the tongue that's the hardest thing to control. And then he goes on, he says, you know, when you look at a ship, it's a little rudder that moves the ship. And then he talks about how the great boats move because of the little ship, the little bitty piece. He talks about the bridle of a horse, and he says that little bit in a horse's mouth turns this big old horse in whatever direction you want it to go to. He says that's the way the tongue is. He says the tongue is the most damaging part of the body. Now, this is the half-brother of Jesus, the head of the Jerusalem church, and he says that out of all the things that create life, it's the tongue that causes the most problem. Now, first, doesn't it logically and rationally make sense that if the tongue is the biggest problem, God would not make an experience for all believers still today that you are filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance? Acts chapter 2 verse 1 and 8. Acts chapter 2 verse 17. Corinthians, it says it. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than y'all. That God would do something, give some kind of spiritual act to control your tongue. Well, then he turns around, and we got a new class with Ed and his wife starting about that. You don't want to miss that. We'll talk more about that later. But Ephesians 4, 29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And without being vulgar and without trying to play for what it's worth, when you damn something, that's unwholesome talk. And it ain't about the word damn. It's about what you're damning. How much do you really like yourself? Just exactly how much condemnation have you swept from your house? You see, the Bible says that the mouth of the righteous brings wisdom. Proverbs 10 and 31 says, from the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom. Proverbs 15 and 7 says, the lips of the wise spread knowledge. Proverbs 12, 25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Proverbs 15 and 4 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Do you realize that God has given you the ability to have life and have it more abundantly? John 10 and 11. And that life and death is found in the power of your tongue. And if you would just start reading the Word of God and confessing the Word of God out loud to yourself. Don't do it in Walmart. They'll think you're crazy. But get in your car going to work tomorrow. Drive down. Do it while your family's asleep. You just confess it, that I have favor with God and man. God likes me. God loves me. God has a plan for me. I have favor with God and man. Nothing's going to come against me that's going to upset me, because greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. If you'll change the power of what's coming out of your mouth, you'll change your week. Anybody got anything out of this? Can I see your hands? Everyone, please stand. Every man, lift your hand. I bless everyone in this house with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now I bless every single man with an uplifted hand with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. I bless every woman with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. I pray, Father, that they be blessed and that you protect them, and that the Lord would make his face shine upon them. And as the original Hebrew says, you will rebuke the worker of the evil one in their life. And that, God, you'd be gracious to them, and that you would look on them with favor, and that you would give them peace, Jewishly speaking, shalom, in their mind, in their home, in their innermost beings, in their jobs, in their walk with you, in their relationships, in their marriages. Let them be blessed and highly favored. And Lord, we're going to come back and celebrate Wednesday with your people. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.